I want to challenge these teenagers tonight, and I'm gonna try to hurry. I appreciate all the singing. The ladies done a great job. Just everybody done a good job, and I appreciate that. But I want to challenge these kids and teenagers this evening. This message is mostly geared towards them. Garrett told me about the youth night being Thursday night, and I have a special place in my heart for these young kids, teenagers. Most kids I've ever had in that trailer was 89 junior hires. I've got a picture of that. That's virtually impossible. The fire marshal, if there's any fire department people in here, don't tell nobody that, all right? Had 89 kids in the back of a semi-trailer, and I'll tell you, got a chance to preach the gospel to them. And listen, I want to challenge these kids with something, but I first want you adults to understand these kids is living in a different world than we growed up in. It's not the same place it used to be. So before we start wondering why they don't do the things we used to do, you got to understand that we're living in a completely different world. One of those things is it's different to personalize your living out your faith in the world we live in. Why is that, preacher? Well, because we're living in an anti-Christian culture. About 30, 40 years ago, when you growed up, the culture was not like it is nowadays. Nowadays, if you're a Christian, you're some kind of a freak or something like that. People just think you're weird, or you're a hater, or you're just narrow. Listen, this culture we live in treats Christianity as downplay. They disrespect it to the utmost. How many folks, to be honest enough, say it wasn't like that 30 years ago? Come on, old folks, you know it wasn't. These kids is living in different times. These kids is living in a strange place. Listen, purity and the pressures of purity and temptations is greater now than it's ever been. There's three words that we use. We talk about love, but in the original word love, there's three words that identify that in Scripture. And those three words, the first one is agape love. That word agape means the will to love. That's how God loves us. Even when we don't love Him back, He still loves us. That's the same love that God has built the foundation of the family with the husband and the wife. Listen, how many marriages in here that's been past 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? Let me tell you what, it's not easy, but you will to love those people sometimes, even when they don't love you back. Even when it's difficult to love them, you still love them. Why? Because you made a vow to love them. That's agape. Listen, God loves you and I with agape love this evening. If you're here tonight and you're lost, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter how bad you've been. God loves you enough this evening that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. That's how much He loves you. The second love we read about in the Bible is filial love. It's where we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? Filial means this compassion. You got compassion for your neighbors. You got compassion for people in here. And it's just a matter of being moved with compassion. And that's what we call filial love. And the third word is eros, and it's sensual love. You guys understand what that means? It's erotica. If any of these three types of love is identified in our culture, which would it be? And you would agree with me, it's the third one I just mentioned. I'm going to try to keep it clean. I know there's some little kids in here, and I don't want to cause any problems there, but you guys understand where our culture's at, right? It's perversion. It's perversion. Listen, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Here we go. Let me say this. Identity and self-image. We have kids with identity problems in our world today. They're trying to figure out who they are. They're trying to find self-image problems, whether they're too big, too small, too tall, too short. Listen, they have image problems. They have a lot of peer pressure with that to be somebody or be something they're not. Let me just share you a little story real quick, and I've shared this at Mount Hope. I've always been big, and people made fun of me my whole life through school, and some of the meanest people was girls. Girls would make fun of me, and they would laugh at me, and they'd call me names. And you know what? Those very same girls got older. And they had kids. And you know what they looked like? They looked like me. They wasn't my kids, but they looked like me. They was chunky kids. Husky. Used to be called husky back when I growed up. Amen. So I guess we was husky kids. But you know, they end up turning out and they look like me. One of them come to me one day, years later, we was at the Pee Wee football field and she come crying. She said, Mark, how'd you ever deal with all them people making fun of you all the time? How'd you ever deal with my boy comes home crying every day? I said, listen, you reap what you sow. Young people, you're going to reap what you sow. It's in the book. You say, well, I'm a young preacher. Listen, if you're a child of God, you're going to reap it someday. Maybe if you ain't a child of God, you better be careful before you make fun of somebody. Amen? You better be real careful before you go brown down your nose and making fun of somebody else. The most trouble I ever got in high school was taking up for people. But listen, we was raised that people wasn't going to take care of themselves or take up for themselves if somebody else take up for them. Amen? I did. No one afraid to. But you know what? We're in a culture where you ain't allowed to do that anymore. I mean, used to, the bully kids were picking on the little kids, and you just take care of that. You ain't allowed to do that anymore in this culture. How many of you guys grew up in a culture where you get a couple of boys, you put them in the football field, and just let them go? Best man wins. We don't live in that culture anymore. We don't live in that world anymore. Listen, these kids are struggling. They've got a lot of pressure inside them. They got a lot of stuff built up inside them. They're trying to get it out. Some of them go home and they think about the peer pressure at school. And you ever see the trouble and the tragedy that happens at school? A kid goes home, finds a gun, next thing you know, boy, tragedy. What happened, preacher? What happened? Well, there's a lot of trouble along the way. A lot of trouble. A lot of trouble starts at home. And I want to say there's a divorce and family is a big issue in our culture today. We have divorce is rampant. Even in the church, divorce is rampant. Listen, I think every child needs a good role model. I think moms teach mom teach little girls how to be feminine. And dads teach boys how to be masculine. There's nothing wrong with a boy being a boy and a girl being a girl. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let this culture tell you that boys should act like sissies and girls should act like boys. That's against everything God created it for. Amen. You got to shout me down on that one. That's all right. That's all right. If you can find in this book right here that God created the family to be a mess like it is, then you come to me after church and said, preacher, God, listen, God never created a family to be like it is in our world today. It's a mess. And you know who's stuck in the balances? These kids. You want to see this Baptist preacher get mad? I see parents all the time forsake their kids for some kind of wild idea they got in their head. Listen, I don't know where in the world they think they got the right to destroy their kids' lives because them's their kids and they're going to stand before God and give an account for them someday. I don't know where they come in their mind to think it's okay to do that, but I'd like to talk to them. I had 89 junior hires in that semi-trailer one day. I asked them to raise their hand, whoever come from a divorced family. Over half of those kids come from a divorced home. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're dealing with divorce, I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you, we're in a big mess. Agape love, the will. Listen, marriage ain't easy. If you're going to leave over the first scuffle, then listen, that's why we're in the mess we're in. I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about the will to love, even when that person is hard to love. That's the way God loves me. Because I'm not always easy to love. But God keeps on loving me anyhow. But I want to tell you what. Divorce is rampant. And it's destroying people's lives. We've got moms raising boys to act like girls. Listen, when I growed up, my mom would cuddle me sometimes when I'd scrape my arm or scrape my knee. And she'd love on me. But you better not let your dad see that. Amen? Why? Because he didn't want you being sissy. Because every time you got hurt, you go run your mom. Amen? Listen, you guys have a clue what I'm talking about in here? Listen, the devil has destroyed families. I think a lot of the problem we're dealing with starts at the house, and it starts because, listen, the family's fall apart. My dad says, suck it up, boy, rub some dirt in it, let's go. My dad never had a Band-Aid. We had electrical tape. We never had Band-Aids. We never used Band-Aids. Put some electrical tape on it. I stepped on a nail one day. We was tearing down a house. I stepped on a nail, went through my foot, through the top of my shoe. And my dad says, you better watch where you're walking, son. And pulled it out of my foot. And spent the rest of the day walking around with a nail hole in my foot. And my mom got home. You know what I was thinking about? I need somebody to love me right now. I couldn't wait to get home and tell my mom I had a nail hole in my foot. Because I know she's going to do something about it. Amen? But we're not living in a world like that anymore. It's all different. Because we just give them a video game and tell them to go to your room and go watch TV. If you got teenagers with TVs in the room, I need to talk to you before we get out of here tonight. Well, you got quiet on that one. If you got teenagers and kids with computers in the room, we need to talk. He said, come on, preacher, we're living in 2017. That's the problem. Nobody's willing to take the effort to raise these kids the way God called us to raise them. It's not easy. We got husbands working, wives working. Then nobody wants to take the responsibility to take these kids under the wing sometimes. We can run them to the ball field day and night, every day. We can teach them how to play ball, but we, for some reason, fail to teach them how to pray. We encourage our kids to be the best at this and the best at that. Get a college education to go place on a sports scholarship. Let me tell you what. If your identity here, young boys and girls, if your identity in here this evening is over a football scholarship, it don't take but one injury and you're done. Your identity is not in football. Your identity is not in how good you are in the band. Your identity is not how good of a volleyball player you are. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. Everything else in your life is a platform to minister Christ. Young people, it's an opportunity for you to reach the message of Christ to your friends and to your peers. When you play ball, do you pray? I mean, you are an example to the guys that's around you, the girls that's around you. Teach your kids that. Listen, you can enjoy sports, yeah, but that's not your life. Amen? That's not who you are. You're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, folks, listen, then you're struggling with identity problems already. Because you don't know who you are. You don't know what's going on. You guys with me? Say amen. With that, the negative media with our teens today, our kids today, towards Christian values. What's so wrong with living right? What's so wrong with telling the truth? What's so wrong that when you go to the courthouse, people get offended about the Ten Commandments? What's so wrong with people living right? There's nothing wrong with living right. And Chris, listen, young people, don't you ever let this culture try to brow down at you because you want to serve God and you want to follow those Ten Commandments. You don't want to steal. You don't want to covet. Listen, you don't want to take the Lord God's name in vain. You know, let me stop right there, one of the Ten Commandments. The Bible said, thou shalt not to take the Lord thy God's name in. People say, well, I don't ever say cuss words. If you're here tonight and you've been born again, you have taken His name. When I was born as a baby, I was born a roach. Not a literal roach, but a roach. Amen? That was my identity. I have identified now as part of the roach family. But listen, when I was born again, I took His name. Because the Bible says that all things pass away, all things become new in Christ Jesus. Listen, I became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So I've taken His name. And when you have taken His name, be careful that you don't bring dishonor to Him. Young people, listen, it's easy to be a Christian in church. It's all different story when you go to school. Listen, I preach around a lot of churches. And I see some young people, I'll look them right dead in the eyeball. And I don't remember names, but I remember faces. And I see some of them at the county fair. And I see some of them out there at the parade. And I see them at different places. And you know what? Sometimes I hear some four-letter words coming out of their mouth. I say, hey, you remember me? Ain't your daddy a trustee? Ain't your daddy a deacon? What's your daddy think you're talking like that? Scrub your jaws out, boy. Amen. Listen, I love going to the county fair. I've seen them up there walking around. They think they're big stuff. They come around their bloodshot eyes. I said, let me see you, boy. They said, what? I said, why's your eyes so bloodshot for? They said, well, I got allergies. Allergies? It's 110 degrees out of here. Listen, you guys can play a game with all of us, but you ain't going to play games with God. He knows what we do when nobody else knows what we do. There's a certain amount of fear that we have. You guys with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Let me keep going. We get busy. Don't you think it's busier now than it ever was in our lifetime? What's the people doing that's so busy? Listen, I think parents still should be raising kids, not kids raising parents. Amen. One of the problems is when children come from divorced homes, nobody wants to be the disciplinary. Nobody wants to take that role. Because as soon as somebody disciplines them, they want to go live with the other one. They just want to live wherever there's no rules. I'm just being honest. Some of these kids, I don't know these kids. I mean, listen, I like them. Amen. Good-looking kids. But I know they're kids. Amen. They're going to mess up. They're going to fall. But you know what? We should be right there to help pick them back up when they do. Listen, every single one of us in here that makes decisions every day that could change the rest of our lives. These young people making decisions. Listen, used to that, mom and dad tell you, you ladies, parents ever say, no, you can't do that. You ever hear that? And then later on they say, well, what do you think? As you get older, they start letting you make some of your own decisions. And then the first bad decision you make is like, all right, I'm making all the decisions again. Amen. But as you get older, as teenagers, your parents' responsibility as Christians is to loosen the rein a little bit. I mean, we can't be helicopter parents and make every decision for our kids. And sometimes we got to allow them to make some bad decisions. Now listen, not that it will affect them the rest of their lives. But sometimes they make decisions that's just not good. And you have to watch them fail in order for them to know. You can't do that again. You guys understand what I'm saying? I don't think we ought to let your kid go to a party. Amen. And with technology we have, listen, I don't know why you don't know where they're at. Amen. I don't think anybody should be out past. My kid's curfew was 10:30 or 11 o'clock. You said, man, that's horrible. Well, it might be, but hey, you ain't got nothing going on after that. If you're out after that, if you're out past that, you'll end up sleeping half the day. You know what? When we growed up, listen. On prom night, they said, you can stay out till midnight. But the problem was, I know if I stayed after midnight, come 6 o'clock in the morning, I was going to have to get out of bed. Because we're going to work. And I'm like, well, you know what? It really ain't that great. I think I'm just going home now. Amen? Hey, you're an hour early. You know what? Got to get up early in the morning. Amen? It didn't hurt me none, folks. You say, well, preacher, that stuff would make me bitter. That stuff would make me mad. Why? Because somebody cared about you. Some of you kids be trotting around the mall. Nobody knows where you're at. Nobody knows what you're doing. Man, we better be careful. Let me tell you this. I've been in this long enough to know there's some boys and girls in here right now that's going to make some decisions in the next 4 years. How many of you guys in high school? How many of y'all in high school? Raise your hand. How many in junior high? How many in college? How many in college? College age, maybe. Over 20. All right. Listen. You see all those hands? Within the next 4 years. Listen to me and listen to me close. In the next 4 years, every single one of you young people is going to be faced with a decision that could change the rest of your life. When I growed up, I had a friend. Well, he wasn't a close friend, just an acquaintance I know. They was going to a party. They got drunk. He crashed the car, killed his best friend. He had to spend time in jail for killing his best friend. Lawyers got involved over medical stuff. Parents sued best friend's parents. What a mess. People that used to be best friends now was worst enemies. They lost their son over carelessness, over a bad decision. Temptations out there. Get where I'm going. Temptations out there. We're all going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. But temptation's not a sin until you partake of it. We're all going to be faced with decisions. Hey, should I smoke pot or not? Not! Amen. Why, preacher? Why should I not smoke pot? Well, you might like it. Then the next thing you know, you're a pothead. Walk around all the time and... Amen. Shout her down if you want to. I talked to him. I said, that stinking pot burned your brains out. Don't burn my brains out. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Didn't bother me none. I got a letter in the mail, and I told the folks in the mail, I'm still mad about it. I got a letter in the mail, and it says, Common Sense Ohioans stinks says vote yes on legalizing marijuana. I guess I'm dumber than a box of rocks, because I said no. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. We got an epidemic already, and we want to give them marijuana so we can get more tax money. Come on, how stupid can you get? Turn your Bible. James chapter 1. Listen, guys, I'm not cutting it short this evening. We got to get this for these kids. Don't too often get this many kids in this place like this. Or I don't get this many kids in here. Amen. I want to talk to them. You guys with me? Say amen. Make good decisions. Your identity's in Christ. Best decision you ever make is trust in Jesus. I was 15 years old when I got saved. Went to Calvary. I mean, man, I thought I was a good guy, but I tell you what, I wasn't good enough to get to heaven. Because my sins was before God. Listen, before God, I needed my sins forgiven. And the only way I could go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to look. It says here in James chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh what? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, one in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Listen, don't you ever listen to that crowd say, well, God told us to get divorced. Garbage. Don't tell that to me. God ain't never going to tell you to break agape. Listen. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. Get this. When he is drawn away of his own lust, and what? Enticed. Listen, there's certain things that draw people away. And everybody's got their own temptation. I can go out this, and we got some hogs out there in the barn. And that big old boar, he don't care what you got. He wants to eat it. Amen? And he'd eat you if he got hungry enough. I could go out there. I could go out there and find a cow and take it a steak. And that cow don't care much for steak. But boy, they like corn. Amen? And that draws that. It's enticing to them. Everybody here is going to deal with different problems. Some of you young people is going to be enticed by drugs. Some people are going to be enticed by alcohol. Some people are going to be enticed by a lot of different things. But every one of us is going to be tempted. What do you do when you're tempted? Listen, I'm sick of the devil stealing all these young people's lives, because I've seen it happen time and time and time again, to the point that it's destroying our young people. And they got a lot of pain and a lot of scars and a lot of heartache to deal with that most of you grown-ups don't have a clue what they're dealing with. It's sad. I want to help them. Amen? Make good decisions. You said, just say no to drugs. You said, preacher, here's the thing. I don't hang out with the crowd that smokes dope. I don't hang out with the crowd that drinks beer. I don't hang out with the crowd that does all the stuff that I ain't supposed to do. Why? Because I hang out with that crowd, it brings me right to the line of it. Amen? It's always there. Listen, if you're next drunk, you don't need to be... Listen, if you used to be a drunk, used to drink liquor, listen, you don't need to be working at a beer store. Amen? Why? Because it entices you. It draws you. It's tempting. And if you look at it every day, the strain of it is there in your mind that pulls you to it. How many folks in here ever been on a diet? I'm the only one that's ever been on a diet. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else admit they've been on a diet before? Well, thank you. God bless you. How many people know in here the first time you go on a diet, you get hungrier than you've ever been in your life? Huh? I mean, you start thinking, man, I can't have that. You're like, man, I can't stand it anymore. I'm going to eat that. Right? Everything you say you can't have, that's the stuff you go for. How many folks ever touched electric fence? I meant just to see what it felt like. Right? How many people have ever touched wet paint because it says don't touch? So what is it? What is it when there's rules and boundaries that we want to get right as close as we can, and we sit there and ponder for a minute? I think, man, well, I got electric fence. I was like, eh, I don't know. And then after a while, you grab a hold of it. My brother peed on one time. That is not a good thing to do. Amen. That was funny, though, all right? I mean, you double dog dare. Who said the double dog dare? I mean, we double dog dare. He done it. Crazy. I don't care if they double, triple dog dare you to smoke this joint. Don't do it. You say, if you're smoking dope, I'm out of here. You say, hey, I triple dog dare you to drink some of this beer. I don't want your beer. I'm out of here. You know, you're hanging out crowd long enough, you sit there and look at it long enough, you're going to touch the wet paint. You sit there and look at it long enough, young people, you're going to start taking that beer, that drug, whatever. You say, preacher, I'll never do that. I'll never do that, preacher. Let me tell you what, I'd like to come see you in 4 years. I'd like to talk to you in 4 years. Because I've seen some good kids go down a bad road. I've seen them get hooked on pills. Next thing you know, they're stealing grandma's jewelry. Next thing you know, they're stealing the neighbor's jewelry. Next thing you know, they're stealing guns. Next thing you know, they're locked up in prison for 15 years. Kids that used to sit in church pews like this. The Bible says, flee. Flee youthful lust. That means get away from it. I want some of the strongest guys we got in here, young people. All right, here's what I need you guys to do. I'm going to try to wrap this thing up. I need you young people to tell me some temptations that you guys deal with, and I'm going to write down. Listen, drugs, alcohol, bullying. I put bullying down here. Would you guys agree with that? What about stealing something. Right? Money. What else? We all right? You guys all right? Remember what the Bible says. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. The Bible says when you're tempted, you're drawn away by your own lust. And listen, when we respond to that, we fall into that sin when we respond to that temptation. What I need these people to do, I need you to hold your elbow out, hold that weight on top of those cups, and don't smash my cups. Once you touch the cup, that means you've fallen. That means you've fallen to the temptation. If you touch that cup, that means you've fallen into it. So listen, you say, well, that wasn't that heavy. But the longer you get there, the harder it is to keep from falling into it. That's this 30-pound guy. I mean, them big old boys, this guy's got arms as big as, I mean, he's a hawk. You say, hey, if these guys, they can do it. I mean, they can... look at these kids. Look at these guys. I mean, listen, you say they're strong enough to keep from falling, preacher. No, you're not. Nobody in here is strong enough. If you stick around that stuff, I'm telling you, you're going to fall into it. It'll pull you right in. I'll give you 5 more minutes and you won't be able to stand it. Listen, if I ask you, what are you concentrating about right now? I mean, what are you trying? I mean, all your okay, all right, everything in there being is now concentrated on not falling in this thing. They're not thinking about school. They're not thinking about the right decisions. All they're trying to do is think about what's sucking them in. Create a little chaos there. Listen, you guys get the picture? You see what happens? You stay close enough to that stuff, it's going to pull you into it. We're not that strong. We're still flesh. And we're still drawn away by our lust. The only way we can overcome those things, we got to get away from it. We just got to get away from it. When your friends start doing things that's not right, when you start seeing stuff on the internet that's not right, when you start having boys say, hey, let's go all the way, let's do this, let's do that, then let's say girls doing that, and then you're like, hey, I'm not having a relationship like that. You just gotta get away from it. You say, well, I love him. Well, listen, if he loved you, he'd say, you know what, let's wait till we get married. Amen. It goes both ways, guys. You understand what I'm saying? If you find somebody that really loves you, they're gonna save it sacred for marriage. Promise you. That's the way God said do it. And God's honored with it. He'll honor your marriage. Listen, there's no ghost in the closets. A lot of people start marriages with 2 or 3 ghosts that's in the closets. Why? Because they've already had relationships with 2 or 3 other people before they ever got married. I mean, intimate relationships. And that hurts the marriage, I'm telling you. You can say what you want to, but it hurts the marriage. Listen, I've been blessed. I married my high school sweetheart. We dated ever since the 8th grade. Dated through high school. 2 years after high school, we got married. Been married for almost 25 years now. Got married when I was 20 years old. Listen, but you know what? I wasn't perfect. No, my life wasn't perfect. But, I tried to do the best I could to do it God's way. I knowed even when my mom and dad and my grandma and grandpa and my church wasn't there, I knew that God could see what I was doing. And that convicted me. I said, you know what? Nobody else might know, but God knows. And I need to be careful in this thing. Be careful in my life, because I'm a testimony of Jesus Christ, because I've taken His name. I'm a Christian now. And I need to act like one. I need to bring honor to my Father.